Christie Groves. September 22, 1975. Originally, she came to the medical center, but her early life to become a nurse is quite interesting. Miss Grove, would you enumerate how you became a nurse?
After leaving high school, in my junior year, I went to Crawfordsville. The L.L. Crawford Union Hospital Training School for nurses, and which had a three-year course. And completed my 3 years training there. You want me to tell anything about the... Which consisted of lectures and classwork by the doctors and by the superintendent of nurses, which was called then. It was a small school. Then at the completion of this training, I went to the university, Indiana University, School of Nursing, which was opened in June 15, 1914. And at that time, they were giving what they called, it was more like a general duty course, but we were allowed and did attend the classes. And I was there for 6 months. 4 months in the operating room and 2 months on the medical and surgical ward. At the end of that time, I come back to Crawfordsville and returned then to the Indiana University on June 28, 1915, where I was to relieve the night supervisor at Long for 1 month's vacation when she married Dr. Molt. I always felt I got the best of the bargain. And I retained that position for 2 years at a salary of $50 a month with general duty nurses on the wards and an occasional student nurse. At that time we didn't have too many student nurses. I went on duty at 7 o'clock and was off at 7 o'clock. I had one evening a week, Saturday evening until midnight.
You worked 7 days a week?
Yes. Mm-hmm. 6.5 days a week. And I worked for 1 year without a vacation or a night off. That at that time we had 1 month vacation. And I had a month's vacation. At the end of my year. And the next, then I completed another year before I had a vacation. And I had one night off on Christmas Eve in my second year that Miss Funk, who was in the operating room supervisor and lived in Maryland, and she couldn't go home, so she worked the night for me. And I had that night off. Then my next position at the university was head nurse on the female wards, which included surgical, medical, and obstetrical nursing. I had that position for 1 year. At the end of that year, Miss Funk left, and I took the operating rooms as supervisor of the operating rooms for $60 a month. Did I mention my salary is?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And
who was dean of the School of Medicine?
Emerson was the dean of the medical school, and Gatch was the head of surgery. And Dr. Barnhill was the head of ENT, J.F. Barnhill. Dr. Oliver was head of orthopedics. Dr. Morrison was the head of eye. Those were the head
medicine.
Of
medicine. Who was?
Emerson was head of medicine. He was dean of the school and head of medicine. And Dr. Frank Wynn was professor of medicine. Dr. Burkhardt was the Dr. Louis Burkhardt was head of obstetrics.
Was it orthopedics?
That was Dr. Oliver.
I see.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Wishard was head of urology.
Who was supervisor of nursing?
From November until November 1915 until the 1st of July or the last of June. November 1914 to the last of June 1915, Miss Fitzgerald was the director of nursing, the School of Nursing. And as her assistants was Miss Inman, and Miss Bailey was the instructor of nursing. And Miss Roser, I don't know whether she is, but she done the drugs. The drug room come under the...
Where was the drug room?
It was on third floor.
Third floor.
Of a...
In a
long.
A long. There was a little room just across from what was in the delivery room that we had the drugs in.
Who was the head pharmacist? We have a picture that we'd like to find out who the pharmacist is.
Well, we had no pharmacist at that time.
I see. Okay.
Then, on the second floor was the laboratory. Mm-hmm.
Now, you are in the operating rooms. At this time, what procedures are different now than then? Science has made great advancements today.
All right, we made all of our dressings, all of our sponges, and all of our applicators. We cut our gauze with scissors. We had a suction machine for the ENT. We had a gas machine for anesthetics. We had cauteries. We made our own intravenous solutions, our normal saline. We all made that from our distilled water that we had a still in the workroom. And we made and sterilized all intravenous that was given. That was in the beginning. Then we finally got an electric gauze cutter. And we had what we call then maids that helped us with the dressing. And during the war, this was Second World War, though. Some of the married graduate nurses come in and helped us make our dressings during the war when we were still short of it. Personnel.
Was Dr. Gatch the person with whom we worked in surgery?
Yes.
And
Oliver. Of course, I worked with Oliver.
But he was the head of surgery.
But he was the head of surgery. It was the exception of 2 or 3 years there that he wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Oliver was the head then.
I see. As a nurse in surgery, what procedures did you use to help the nurses or your assistants to do a good job?
Well, we had a class or a session every morning that brought up the different diseases that we were going to work with. And their etiology and symptoms, development, and procedure. And then I wrote procedures for all the different operations and all the procedures that we would use in the operating room. And we had practice sessions where we went through the operation just for information. And then I had books made for all the departments with pictures of the different setups, and which took some time to do all that.
Yes.
And as you change doctors, your procedure changed.
How about the instruments that were used in surgery?
Well, the instruments that were used in surgery were furnished by the university. And we were responsible for the condition of the instruments, the repair of the instruments. I mean, see if they were repaired and kept in condition. And for the sterilization of
them. You did the sterilization?
Yeah, we've done the sterilization of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw that the everything was getting clean. And we had an orderly and a maid. And as the department grew, we had a department for the supplies. We furnished the dressings for the wards, the sterile dressings. We done all that. We made all those. And where now they have for central supply rooms,
mm-hmm.
where you get them.
You mentioned that you put the instruments on the tray when we were talking previously to help the nurses that came in.
Well, we had a tray in the operating room that was the instrument tray, and we also had a reserved table. Well, the nurse that was going to help the doctor had her procedure for preparation of her hands and her gown and her mask and head covering, and then she had what we call grunts that we opened, and they had different one had gowns, one had towels, one had a supply for all sponges and things like that. Then she would drape her tables. First, they all had to be cleaned.
Mm-hmm.
And then she would drape her tables and put out all her supplies. And then get her instruments from the sterilizer and put them on the reserve table and on the tray that went over the patient. Then, and when the patient come in, she was responsible for helping drape the patient. Furnishing the materials, and the doctor would help her drape the patient, prepare the skin, drape the patient. The doctor prepared the skin. She didn't, because she was left-handed. But the nurse, there was always a circulating nurse, we called her, who waited upon those that she could wait upon those that were already scrubbed and couldn't touch anything. And then she proceeded to hand in the instruments, see that he had the sponges, see that he had the suture material on the proper needle and so forth until it was. Then the circulating nurse helped with the anesthetic. She was responsible for all sponges that dropped on the floor or dropped in the basement. And the two of the nurses were responsible for the sponge count.
To make it easier for some of those, you arranged the instruments on a tray, did you not?
Mm-hmm.
And this was in service to teaching you were doing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And in the beginning, we didn't have students for a while, you see, until for the first, because we didn't have the students. And we had general duty nurses. But then as students come along, why, if I would have a graduate scrub with the student until she was ready to be on her own. Mm-hmm.
Supervised teaching, right, from the start.
Yes. She never would take a case just on her own.
Mm-hmm.
And she started with minor surgery, what we called then minor surgery, which was tonsillectomies and small operations, and then was advanced to big operations.
Were at the medical center 35 years, am I correct?
Yes.
Well, you saw Ball Residence built.
Oh, yes. There was only first and second cottages when I...
Where were those cottages when you...
They were on Michigan Street.
About where? On Michigan.
Well,
what's standing there now? Do you know? Or can you recall?
Where's Hiawatha?
Beg pardon?
Where's Hiawatha Street now? Is it taken into the...
No, it's still there, but it's sort of hidden, I think.
Well, is it about where General is?
Possibly so. I've seen it when I've been driving.
Well, there was maybe it's up that far, and maybe it isn't. But that was where Second Cottage was.
Oh, it was in within the radius of the center.
Oh, yes.
There was, what did they call the cottages where the nurses stayed downtown?
That was Fourth Cottage.
Oh, it was, oh. Mm-hmm.
And Third Cottage. Then First Cottage was the it's just east of the driveway there that goes into Long.
Oh.
On Michigan. The First and Second Cottages. And then Third Cottage is back on, is there North Street back there?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's back on North Street.
Mm-hmm.
Back block.
Now they had an old jitney. Was that used just for the ones that were downtown, or did the nurses get hauled around from all the cottages in that jitney?
No, just for the ones that downtown.
Uh-huh. Was it a pretty big a dormitory, so to speak, downtown?
Not any bigger than the others.
Uh-huh.
It was a good big house.
There's just one cottage still standing.
Well, now that is the stucco building there.
Yes.
That was built after.
Oh, none of the cottages then are in existence.
No.
Yet.
No.
Uh-huh. What type of costume did you nurses wear at that time? They were long skirted. And
you mean in the operating room?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, we wore gowns, just a straight
scrub gown or whatever they call it.
Well, no, we had a gown that went over that. But this was just a straight dress, you know, with a tie dye on.
Mm-hmm. Were they different colored?
White.
White. Where was the operating room the time you speak of it?
It was on the fourth floor at Long.
Fourth. Did it cover a great deal of space, a whole wing? Or?
Yeah, it covered the north wing. Mm-hmm. And across from the elevator was one room there that the interns' quarters. They lived there.
Who were some of the interns during those days?
The beginning?
Mm-hmm.
The first one I met was Laurel Lehman when I went to the university. And he was later an ENT man. He went in and Robert Moore was, those two are two of the first interns that I knew. Robert Moore was a heart specialist eventually.
Was Dr. Ritchie within that period?
I think he's in 1918. It tells us there on some of the pictures.
I see.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he was in 1918, I believe. Mm-hmm. And then there was, before him, there was Dr. Kine, Edward Kine.
Oh, yes.
And Dr. Ulrich. And Dr. Kent. And
Dr. Wynn's son, would he have been in that?
Yes. He was ahead of that. Dr. Somebody cut it there. Dr. Garner, I think, was ahead of that.
That's the residency?
Mm-hmm.
Totally.
No, that was intern. Garner was an intern.
Mm-hmm.
I have sent a great deal of my things about the wind to Barbara, Jim's wife, and the granddaughter.
Where did they live?
They live in California, San Diego. I have their address.
Okay. Now, over the years that you were in the operating rooms, how many different deans did the School of Medicine, could you name them? There was...
Emerson.
Uh-huh.
Oliver. No. Emerson. And Gatch. And then East.
Now, back to the School of Nursing. In your early days, when you decided to become a nurse, what were some of the endeavors that you had, goals that you had to reach in order to enter the school or a program of nursing? You were not, you were a graduate of the IU, were you?
No.
Not ever. Okay, now take it back to the time when you were high school.
I left high school in the junior year.
From what high school?
Wayntown.
Uh-huh.
And after entering as in a nursing position at the medical center, I saw the need of finishing my high school. The Wayntown High School was not accredited, so therefore I would not be eligible to enter the university. So I picked up that those credits later through night school and equivalency examinations.
When did you go to night school? By mail?
No. No, they had, for certain things, they had board had had classes. And it was in one of the schools, night classes. I'd done all this at night.
Was that then, in this town of
Indianapolis? No.
Indianapolis.
That was after I went to IU.
I see.
Then, Extension was, Indiana University Extension was there in Indianapolis, you see. And we, all of us, started going to Extension. And we took courses. Well, I took history, English, and Dr. Simbar came up from Indiana University and taught English to the students. And we were allowed to take classes through him in English. And his was English composition. And then I had 5 hours in history and chemistry, 10 hours, and head nursing, supervision. What was some of those? Psychology.
You have to take anatomy?
No, I'd already had anatomy in my school curriculum. See, we'd had all nursing essentials, like obstetrics, surgical nursing, orthopedic nursing,
the basic.
We'd had all those basic, but this was graduate nursing, and I accumulated 60 credits while I was going to night school. All this was night school.
Was your night school at IU?
IU. Mm-hmm. We went downtown to a night school.
Yeah. Well, where was that building? There on Michigan? The same?
Mm-hmm. Down.
Uh-huh. The downtown campus.
Downtown campus.
Uh-huh. Who taught you? You took chemistry, you say?
Yes, but I can't tell you the...
Was it Dr. Welsher? Welsher.
Can't remember the name of the... But it was 10 hours, and we found it difficult. Mary Hedrick and I decided to do this together. That was after they put chemistry in the basic nursing program, see? Mm-hmm. Well, we thought they're going to have basic nursing, we should take it. Well, we found it difficult in the beginning. But Dr. Grice, you know Dr. John Grice?
I've heard of him, yes.
He was a resident. And he told us he'd coach us. So we both got B's out of our chemistry due to Dr. Grice.
Well.
And he was, he said, give him a good review. But he coached us every week.
Well, that's a precious little thing that
isn't.
We don't have these days too much. Mary Hedrick, was she at Riley at the time you were first?
No, she was a student.
She was a student as you were.
As I was.
Uh-huh.
No. She was at, you mean at that time?
Yes.
When she was, when we were taking chemistry?
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember where she's at Riley or where she's on first floor. She had charge of the private floor before she went to Riley.
Mm, I see.
And, but I think it was after that. It was after that.
Mm.
She was at Riley when she took that.
Mm. And looking back over it, what were some of the rewards that you feel being a nurse was important to you? that nursing today possibly doesn't offer this same opportunity. For instance, were you close to the patient?
We were very close to the patient. I remember especially a professor, a French professor, who died, and I stayed with him the night, or Patrick, the night, when I think, supervisor. And I felt that I meant a great deal to him during his exit out of this world. And we were close to people. And we were close to one another. And I felt that the service as a whole was rewarding. The service that you were giving. And I felt, even though you were not as close to a patient in the operating room service, you were of a great service if you got through without, if you were helpful in getting this patient through their ordeal.
As an operating room nurse, did you find any teamwork among your colleagues?
Oh, yes. And there was